You will never let us go. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your promises. And Father God, as we approach the Word of God this morning, we thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding. We thank you for hungry hearts, Father. We thank you that as we've experienced a taste of heaven in our worship, we're going to experience how good and taste and see how good the Lord is as we feast on the Word of God this morning. Thank you for hearts that are like good ground, ready to receive the good seed of your Word. And as that seed is nurtured and watered, it's going to bring forth fruit in all of our lives. We thank you by faith, not anything is going to hinder the going forth of the receiving of your word today. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Go ahead and be seated if you would. Hallelujah. And if you have a Bible with you, if you'd open it up to the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to begin with that text. It's been a text that we've had for several weeks with a few pauses in between, but that's all right. This morning, we're going to continue in a study that we began really at the beginning of the year. And that study was entitled Managing Life God's Way. And within that title, there are so many things that we could talk about. Managing Life God's Way really is so broad of a title that we could talk about practically any and every facet of the Christian life. But this morning, we're going to continue talking about the fruit of the Spirit, because when we talk about managing life God's way, the word managing has the idea of the regulator, to control. And so we're talking about regulating our life God's way. And one of the most essential parts of regulating our lives God's way is by walking in and letting have born in our lives the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of Christ. Amen? Look alive. Look alive. How many of you know He wants us to develop in the character of Christ? And I know that it's a whole lot more enjoyable maybe to hear about the promises of God. It's almost, something that people only go to hear is the things that will tickle their ears, the things that will excite them and get them all enthusiastic about, the things that God has provided. But I want you to know the most important part of being a Christian is developing the character of Christ in our lives. Amen. Becoming more on the outside what He's already made us to be on the inside, because we know and talked about a couple of weeks ago how that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, it's our spirit man being made of three basic parts, spirit, soul, and body. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so man is made basically up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body, and it's the spirit of man that's been born of the Spirit, or born anew. That Jesus said in John 3, that which is born of the Spirit is body? No. Is soul? No. But is your spirit man? And therefore, being born of the Spirit, our spirit has the character of Christ within it. And so it's essential that each of us as believers begin to nurture, begin to fertilize, if you will, begin to water that character of Christ that's on the inside of us, so that it might be more and more progressively coming outwardly in order so that the world might see a changed life. Because if the world doesn't see our lives changed, then to the world, we're just another religion, just like every other thing. Isn't that right? And so the character of Christ is essential for us to be what God wants us to be, for us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. In fact, if you think about it this way, there's a twofold great commission, if you will. The first part, or the first fold, or first facet of the Great Commission is, of course, in Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 16, where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe, etc. Isn't that right? Did you get that? But then there's another facet of the Great Commission, and that's in Matthew chapter 28, about verse 28 or so, the end of that chapter, where Jesus said this. He said, go, and He said, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatever I've said. And so there's the preaching of the gospel for people to be saved, but then there's the discipling or the teaching of the believer so that they can fulfill the Great Commission. Isn't that right? We can't have one without the other. And so part of discipling is building that character, or bringing to the outside the character of Christ in our lives. Now let's just read here in Galatians chapter 5. And let's start reading here. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's or belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, there's several things that are mentioned here. We talked about the fact the fruit of the Spirit is singular. And so the fruit being that which originates or comes from something. And so we're talking about that which originates or comes from the Holy Spirit. Is number one love, agape or agape, the love of God? Is that not right? And so the essence of that character that originates and comes from the Spirit of God out of us is the love of God. And then all these other things are part of that love. We've talked about peace. We've talked about joy. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, long suffering. How many of you know that long suffering is important if you're going to be all Christ wants you to be? If you're going to be an effective witness, you got to long suffer with those that are unsaved. Isn't that right? If you're going to receive the promises of God, it's with faith and long suffering. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 says, with faith and long suffering that we inherit of the promises of God. And so we've dealt with this aspect of long suffering. Then the next one is what we're going to deal with today, and that is kindness. Everybody say kindness. Would you agree with me there's a lack of kindness in the world today? Would you agree with me there needs to be more kindness in families, more kindness in churches? More kindness, in the world. But how many of you know if they don't find it in the church, they're certainly not going to have any effect. Isn't that right? I mean, they can't be kind with the power of God, certainly, because they don't have the life of God. But you and I have within us, as a facet of the fruit of the Spirit, you have the capacity for supernatural kindness toward people. Amen. Now, having said that, before we go any further, I want us to watch a video. And I want you to watch carefully and listen carefully to this video, because it's a scene that's somewhat, at least poised as a hidden camera. I think it was scripted. I think it was, something that they had planned. But it's poised as a hidden camera in order to have more effect. And I want you to watch this video, and then we'll go on from there.
So much for this beautiful thing that you've given us. Lord, I just pray that you give us the true faith that the pastor talked about today in church. Lord, we love you and thank you for this beautiful thing. Amen.
Can I get you guys anything else? Enjoy your meal. I put it on there because you ordered a large ice cream, sir.
Man, I did order a large ice cream. I've been waiting for a while. Sir,
speak to you, sir. Is there a problem here?
Well, there have been many problems today.
Okay.
I don't know if it was lack of experience or just laziness, but the service was very
rough. Well, I'm very sorry about that. That's not representative of our cafe. I'll tell you what. How about if I take this and I'll take care of that for a night? This will be on the house. You take care of that for me. Thank you. And next time I'll look at your taxes, you look up.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Did you say David Fox?
David Fox.
You know Jerry Fox?
That's my brother.
I worked with him. He's a guy at Christmas party. You remember him?
Praise God. Well, I think that we can all relate to that kind of scene, and I think that you maybe can see even more so how important the fruit of the Spirit is in our lives. Amen? It can affect whether or not a person accepts Christ, and we need to really take it seriously in our character and how we are a witness and how we let our light shine or not shine out in that world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen? Be conscious of the fact that even though you may not think anybody else is watching, God is watching. And I'll tell you, those that don't know Christ are watching. They're watching you real closely, especially when you ask the blessing over your food and then act like that way. How many of you know the world needs a little kindness, and it's the kindness of God displayed and depicted through you that's going to make a difference to that person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Now, don't get somber on me. Some of you might be under conviction. I don't know. But praise God. All right? So let's get into some of this. And let's go to the first slide here and talk about some things concerning this slide. It'll be slide number 2, if you can bring that up, Gordon. All right, more attributes of love. Go to the next one. And we want to talk about this. As I've already said, we want to talk about the attribute of kindness. All right? And first, we'll start off with some definitions. Let's go to the next frame and let's get some definitions of the word. Next one. It means to show oneself useful, to act benevolently. Number 2, to show oneself mild, sweetness of disposition. Everybody say, stay sweet. Sweetness of disposition, gentleness in dealing with others. Number 3, willing to help or to assist. Number 4, the word denotes describing the ability to act for the welfare of those taxing your patience. I think that lady on that video could have heard that definition. She needed that. Number 5, this word describes the sympathetic kindliness or sweetness of temper which puts others at their ease. Notice that. That puts others at their ease. It therefore describes a quality that makes other people feel at ease when with you. And the next one, I believe there's one more, it's the opposite of to endanger, to hinder, and to hurt. All right, so these are some ideas about what this idea of kindness is. Remembering again that kindness is an attribute of the fruit of the Spirit that He has placed within us. You have the ability to be sweet in your temperance. Amen? To have a sweet way about you. You have a way. You have the ability supernaturally to be what Christ would have you be. Now, we're going to talk about a little bit of this a little bit more in balance, if you will, because there's some other things about this that we need to understand. It doesn't mean that when you're kind, or when you're perhaps straightforward with people, doesn't mean you're not kind. Jesus was always kind, wasn't He? But Jesus was straightforward sometimes, isn't that right? But Jesus did it with love. He spoke the truth of God with love, and so we need to keep that in mind as well. All right, now, first of all, everything that we have and understand about kindness has to start with our understanding of the kindness of God. Would you agree with me that God is a kind of God? All right, and so we're going to start with this. God has always shown His kindness toward mankind. And one of the ways that we can help ourselves to be kind toward others is to remember how kind God has been to us. Let's look at this scripture, Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17. It says it this way, Amplified Bible. It says, they refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Aren't you glad that God is abundant in His kindness? Amen? Even when people didn't act right, God was always abundant in kindness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so how many of you would agree, if you've read your Bible, especially the Old Testament, well, even the New in certain places, but the Old Testament with Israel, how many of you know that Israel sure did try God's patience? I mean, Israel, they weren't exactly those that behaved very well often during their time with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whether it be whether they were in the wilderness or even afterwards, they weren't those that behaved that well. And God showed great kindness to them, kept trying to bring them back to where they needed to be, kept trying to guide them and lead them. Yes, there were times of judgment for those that wouldn't repent, but God always made a space for repentance, didn't He? Amen. And so God is a kind God, and He never wavers from that kindness. Now, let's look at some other scriptures. I want you to turn in your Bible to some. Go with me to Luke chapter 6. Are you getting anything out of this so far? Luke chapter 6. And let's start with that one as far as this goes. Luke chapter 6. Talking about the kindness of God and using, or seeing Him rather, as an example of kindness. When we get an idea and remember His kindness toward us, it ought to empower us to be kind and to desire to be kind to others. Remember, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Isn't that right? And so the goodness of God, we could say the kindness of God, leads men to repentance. People need to know that God is kind because most people think that God is mean and out to get them. But if you, the Christian, are not kind, they're going to have the idea that God is not kind. I don't know if you read it or not, but did you read the quote by Mahatma Gandhi? He said, you know, I like your Christ, but I don't like you Christians. I think that's the case with a lot of unbelievers today. They like our Christ, perhaps, but they don't like us Christians because we have not shown forth Christ in the way that we should. Notice in Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27, it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men," note this, "just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." That's what we call the golden rule. You might want to take note of that and mark it in your Bible. "Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same." In other words, if you're just doing good or loving people that are giving it to you, then you're no better than somebody not saved. And so don't start, you know, thinking well of yourself, you know, patting yourself on the back. "Oh, wasn't I good to that person? I mean, they blessed me, so I blessed them back." And patting ourselves on the back and saying, "Oh, wasn't I such a good Christian?" No, you were just as good as any sinner would do for somebody that did good to them first. Isn't that right? Now, don't get mad at me. This is what Jesus said. I'm just reading the red. Verse 33 again, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Verse 34, and if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love, verse 35, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Everybody say, your enemies. Now, really, you know, in this new covenant, we need to understand, unsaved people, you shouldn't even look at them as your enemies. You understand that? I think that's one of the biggest problems Christians do. They look at the unsaved people as their enemies. They're not your enemies. Now, they're influenced by the enemy, aren't they? All right? And Jesus, of course, referring and talking to the disciples, you know, the enemies to them, they didn't understand things pertaining to the new covenant so well. And so to them, the enemies were those that would persecute them and oppose them. And they had a great amount of persecutors, and it would get worse by the time it was all said and done. From the time Jesus spoke this onward, it got worse for the disciples as far as persecutors and those that would try to kill them and would kill them and all that kind of thing. But he's saying those that are opposed to you, there are those that are opposed to us. Isn't that right? That's what really enemies mean. It means those that are opposed to us. So those that are opposed to you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to love those that oppose you. You're supposed to do good to those that oppose you. Then it goes on and it says, and your reward, everybody say reward, will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Now notice now, you'll be sons of the Most High. You'll be having a great reward, and you'll be sons of the Most High. Now notice now, for, that means, in other words, because. Now all of this that he says, and he describes the Most High. He says, for he, the Most High, is kind to the unthankful and the evil. And he's saying, be one of his sons, daughters, if you will. Be an offspring of God. And like the Most High, be kind to the evil. Amen. Be kind to the ungrateful. And it goes on and says, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it'll be given to you. Now, you know, in the context of this, let's understand, we use this for finances, and it certainly applies. But notice in the context of this, give, and it'll be given to you. Give what? Give mercy. Give kindness. Give love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In the context of this, it sure applies to giving of finances because we ought to be giving our finances out of love. But we're talking about if you'll give love, if you'll give mercy, grace to everyone, as you do, notice it says, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you again. With the same measure that you use. So, you know, the measure has the idea, let's say, of a certain certain quantity of whatever it is you give. In the quantity, whatever quantity you give out, it's going to be quantified back to you again. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And so if you want others to be kind to you, then you initiate and be kind to them. If you want kindness coming back, you've got to give it out first. It's still that same principle we hear over and over again, a principle, a biblical principle that's one of the most powerful principles in the Bible and really one of the most predominant principles of the Bible, and that is the law or the principle of sowing and reaping. Amen. It's all through the Word of God, sowing and reaping. Pertaining here to love. Sow love, you'll reap love. Sow kindness, you'll reap kindness. Sow mercy, you'll reap mercy. Amen? From God and from others. Says, shall men give unto your bosom? So we know we're going to receive it from God, but here it makes the promise that it's going to come from other human beings. As we give out good, it's going to come back to us. But on the reverse of that, or on the contrary to that, as we give out bad, it'll come back to us as well. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Whether it be good seed or bad seed you're sowing, you're going to reap a result. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is everybody doing all right? Sow integrity, you'll reap people being full of honesty with you. Amen? All these kinds of things are so imperative and so important. And such a, really, as I said, a predominant principle in the Word of God is this law of sowing and reaping. And we see it there as well. So if we're going to be like our Father, if we're going to be like the Father God, the Most High, sons of the Most High God, then we need to be kind to those that aren't kind to us. Now, what excuse did these folks have up on the video? That girl was as kind as could be. That girl bent over backwards to be kind to them and probably wasn't saved. At least she sure had a dislike for Christians, at least hypocrites. Isn't that right? But she bent over backwards to be kind to those people. And so they weren't even being kind to her. And the Scripture says, be kind to those that are not kind. And they couldn't even measure up being kind to one who was being kind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many of you are going out to eat today? I want you to remember that video for the rest of your life. Amen? For the rest of your life, I want you to remember that video because it could make you or break you in a sense. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? How many of you will never go out to eat again because you're afraid of messing up? Oh, no, don't do that. Amen? Go with me to the book of Titus, if you will. Titus, the third chapter. Are you getting anything out of this? I know this is not your favorite message. There won't be many CDs on this one, but that's all right. Titus chapter 3. We're talking about the kindness of God. The kindness of God, first of all. Titus, the third chapter. Notice what it says. I guess we'll start with verse 3. Are you there? Titus, the third chapter, beginning with verse 3. It says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient. You'll notice he's putting that in the past tense. That's the way God sees us as born-again believers. All things have passed away. Old things have passed away. All things become new. We also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But. Everybody say but. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. I want you to take note of this. I want you to note this real close here. The kindness and love of God, our Savior. Do you know in that passage, he's saying our Savior is the kindness and love of God. Amen. He's saying that our Savior, Jesus, is the personification of the kindness and love of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Aren't you glad that He appeared? Aren't you glad the kindness and love of God appeared to you and me? Amen? In the form of a person. In the form of a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. All right? Amen. Now there's another scripture you can write down. We're not going to go there in Ephesians. We got to go there. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. I didn't give you notes because I didn't want to. But there's a place to take notes, amen? You realize how much work that takes to get those notes ready for you? Because you see, if I have notes for me, how many of you know the notes for me don't have to be nearly as nice as the notes I give to you? Amen? Amen. And so, you know, I'm not sure how often you'll get notes because we'll just use the PowerPoint more, amen? And you can write things down and you'll have more time to write them down, what have you. But in Ephesians chapter 2, notice what it says. And we won't read beginning with verse 1, but verse 1 on tells about, first of all, verses 1 through 3 talks about the bad news before Christ. Then notice it says in verse 4, but God. Say, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. God has rich mercy and great love that He's loved you with. Even when we were dead, even when we were spiritually separated from God, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, notice now, in the first three verses, he talks about the past. He talks about how we were in bondage to the enemy. He talks about how we walked according to the course of the power, the prince of the power of the air, and were by nature the children of wrath, etc. Then, in verses 4 through 6, he talks about what Christ did and how His love, His mercy came and raised us up and gave us new life. Then, in verse 7, notice what it says, that in the ages to come, so we go from the past to the present to the future, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The point being this, that there are ages to come, and throughout the ages to come, throughout eternity, God really, in His heart, desires, with a passionate desire, to show forth His kindness toward you and me. Say, what are we going to do through eternity? Well, I know one thing we're going to do. We are going to enjoy the kindness of God like we've never enjoyed it before. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're going to enjoy the kindness of God throughout eternity. And the kindness of God is so extravagant. The kindness of God is so broad. It's so wide. It's so beyond our comprehension that there's no way God could ever describe in a book called the Bible what that kindness consists of throughout eternity. But I'm telling you that throughout eternity, we're going to enjoy immeasurably and beyond our comprehension the kindness of Almighty God. I'm excited about it. You aren't, but I am. Amen. All right? Now, kindness in the life of the believer. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 19. We got to go quickly here. Proverbs chapter 19. Are you getting anything out of this? See, if we understand the power of this, the power of kindness, the power of kindness, it'll change everything. It'll change the way people respond to us. It'll change relationships. It'll change perhaps even, you know, parent-child relationships, you know, and things like that. I mean, it can change everything. It can change your relationship with your boss or your employees, whatever the case may be. It'll change everything. Kindness will change everything. Kindness will open up the pages of a person's heart. Kindness will open up a person's heart so that you can speak into it and minister to them in a way no other thing can. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Kindness is a powerful principle that we, including me, I need to get a hold of better. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 19, notice what it says in verse 22. It reads this way. What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. What is desired? The idea there is, as I understand it, is what is attractive in a man or what is attractive to a person is kindness. And so if people are going to be attracted to you, man or woman, because it's generic, man or woman, if people are going to be attracted to you, there has to be kindness. We want the world to be attracted to us. Why was the world attracted to Jesus? The multitudes would follow him. The multitudes would do anything they could to get to Jesus. Why? Because they understood that he was full of kindness. Wasn't he? And they'd appear and come to him. They say, have mercy on us. Or whatever it is they may say, have mercy. How many of you know mercy is poured out because of kindness? Amen?
Amen.
Is everybody doing all right?
Yes.
All right, this message is better than you look, but that's all right. All right, another one in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. We'll go there. We're not going to turn to every scripture I have here. I'll give them to you. But in Colossians chapter 3, we do need to turn there. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the third chapter. And let's read another passage here. Colossians chapter 3. And in verse 12, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, Colossians 3:12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, notice, kindness, put on kindness. Kindness is part of the garment that you and I are to wear. You get out of bed in the morning, you ought to think, you know what, I'm going to put on my garment called kindness. And I'm going to believe God that that garment called kindness is going to make an effect in people's lives. They're going to like what I'm wearing. Amen? Amen? You're going to love how you look. Amen? Dressed in kindness, you're going to love how you look. And as the commercial says, I guarantee it. Amen. All right? And so put on kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. How? We've read it before. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But you know, in the context, we could also include, even as Christ has been kind to you, be kind to others. Kind to others, even as Christ has been kind to you. You can write down this scripture, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 is a command to be kind. And turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. You can write down Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, and then turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter comes right after 1 Peter. That's real helpful, isn't it? 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm not going to take a lot more of your time. 2 Peter chapter 1. Begin with verse 1. I just want to read this to give us a little bit of background. Is everybody doing all right? 2 Peter 1, verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith. That's you and me. Amen. We've obtained like precious faith. Amen. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ says with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we've mentioned this. Let's mention it in light of kindness. That means if it has to do with godliness and kindness does, then He has given you everything that pertains to kindness. And to be able to walk in it. He says that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Say, be diligent.
Be diligent.
See, most Christians don't want to be diligent. Most Christians, they don't want to have any kind of discipline. They don't even like that word discipline. But that's the idea, this idea of diligence. We're to have diligence to do what? Notice now, be diligent. Give all diligence. Add to your faith. Remember, we already read in verse 2, verse 1 that we are those of like precious faith, aren't we? But it shouldn't stop there. Oh, I've got faith. Oh, I believe. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm right with God. And all that, and a lot of times people think, well, that's where it all stops. No, that's not where it all stops. Anybody can say they have faith, but you know what? Faith without works is dead. Anybody can say they believe in Jesus, but that doesn't mean they're going to go to heaven. Anybody can say they have faith and believe that Jesus died and rose again. But you know what? Saying that and claiming to believe that doesn't get a person saved and going to heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? There's got to be some action. There's got to be some evidence. There's got to be some apparent things showing up that show that you've got a changed life. If your life hasn't changed, then you're not saved.
Right.
That may sound like tough teaching, but that's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if our life hasn't changed, I'm not talking about being perfect, but you know what? There ought to be evidence there's life in you, and that's the life of God. If there's no evidence there's life in us, then we're not saved. Something's wrong. That's not Bible Christianity. That's religion. So he says here, after saying like precious faith, then he's saying giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue. Everybody say virtue. That is the idea of character. Virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, persevere. He's talking about adding. He's talking about growing. He's talking about building up. He's talking and saying to us that just saying, having faith, faith is not enough. Perseverance, verse 6, to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. Now notice, for if these things, verse 8, are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. I submit to you, if you're lacking kindness, you're being short-sighted. It says they're short-sighted, even to blindness. Lack of kindness shows blindness. Short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. Forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. And so again, we're to remember what Christ did for us. Remembering what Christ did for us should empower us to live and to treat others the way Christ has treated us. Then it says in verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. There's that word again. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Never stumble. Can you imagine if you'll do those things, you'll never stumble? He says, be diligent. And he says, really, adding all these things, he's saying by adding those things, we're making our calling and election sure, isn't he? Yes. In other words, you can't fulfill your calling. You can't be what God elected you to be unless you're walking in kindness toward others. Is everybody doing all right? All right, now we're getting ready to wrap this up, but I want you to notice a few things here. Another thing about it is if you want others to be kind to you, we've said it, be kind to others. You might want to write down Matthew 7 and verse 12. I want to give you some scriptures about that. If you look up on the big screen, notice Proverbs 11, 17. You might want to write these down. Amplified Bible says, the merciful, kind, and generous man benefits himself, for his deeds return to bless him. But he who is cruel and callous to the wants of others brings on himself retribution. Next frame. From the Living Bible, same passage says, your own soul is nourished when you're kind. It is destroyed when you are cruel. And the next frame as well. From the Good News Translation reads this way. No, I don't have that on there. Maybe I don't have that on there. Let me tell you what it is. It says this, the Good News Translation, be kind and honest and you will live a long life. I'm going to say that one again. Be kind and honest and you will live a long life. Others will respect you and treat you fairly. That's the Good News Translation of Proverbs 11 and verse what did I tell you? I can't even see it. Proverbs 21 and verse 21. All right? And so, if you want to live a long life, it says in that scripture, live long. In other words, a lengthy and long life, an abundant life, can be found to the degree that we're walking in kindness toward others. Now, I know there's other things as well, but kindness is an important part of that. Remember what kindness is. It's being of a sweet spirit. It's being of a sweet temperament. It's being nice to others and having them and helping them to cause or to be at ease with you and things like that. All right, now, we have to ask ourselves, are others at ease in our presence? Or do we use sharp words, bitter words? Are we cutting people down? Are we a negative person? Are we negative all the time? Do you know, negativity, you know, people aren't going to want to be around you. Negative people can never be kind. Because negative people are just pessimistic on everything, and so they automatically, negativity will definitely promote being unkind toward other people because people are miserable. When they're negative and pessimistic all the time, they're just plain miserable. And how many of you know miserable people make other people miserable? They're not kind to people. Isn't that right? Is everybody hear what I'm saying? So don't be miserable. You're supposed to be a Christian. This is meat. You know the difference. Milk goes down smooth, man. Just goes down, hardly even have to swallow. I mean, it just goes down. But meat takes a little bit of chewing. Sometimes it's tough. And sometimes, you know, you might choke a little bit before it goes down. But you know what? We'll wash it down with a little bit of milk and it'll be all good for you. Amen? All right, but how many of you know we need the milk and the meat? Isn't that right? You don't need just the emotional swinging and jumping and praising God. We need that. But you also need some meat where the rubber meets the road. Where we live. This is where we live. Tell me that video isn't where we live. And how we relate to people. Isn't that right? All right, now, five characteristics of a kind person. Let's go. I think it's the next frame. I hope it is. See, that was there, wasn't it? Go back to that last frame. See, I knew I didn't mess up. Gordon messed up. I'm kidding. I just kidding. Wait. Go back to that last frame if you can. Maybe I'm asking a lot to you. Can you go to that last one or not? Good News Translation. See, there it is. Be kind and honest and you will live a long life. Others will respect you and treat you fairly. Now let's go. Five characteristics. Five characteristics of a kind person. Number one, be sensitive. Everybody say, be sensitive. Now, what do we mean by being sensitive? People who are kind are aware of the needs of others. People that are kind are aware. They're watchful. They look and they try to be sensitive to the needs of other people. Notice the scripture, Philippians 2:4, I think we have there. Notice the Amplified Bible says, let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others. Be sensitive to the interests of others. That's part of being kind, isn't it? You know, a key word in that passage of scripture is look. Everybody say, look. You know, we that are believers, we ought to be watchful. You know, there's a lot of scriptures about being watchful. I mean, we're to watch our own life. We're to watch things like that. We're to watch our doctrine, our teaching, our understanding, etc. But, you know, we're to be watchful of other people. We're to be looking upon them and seeing if they're, you know, the Holy Ghost will speak to your heart. And you'll just look on them. And the Holy Spirit, if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, when we say be sensitive, we could mean and include with that the idea of be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because you might look on somebody and the Holy Spirit rise up. That person just needs an encouraging word. That person needs you to just, you know, give them a big old bear hug. That person just needs prayer. Whatever the case may be sensitive. Be sensitive by looking on people. And I have this way, it's a pastor thing probably, to look at people when they don't know I'm looking. Because, you know, people act a different way when they don't know you're looking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They have a different countenance. They have a different demeanor about it when they don't know you're looking. You know, I look at people sometimes when they don't know I'm looking. I think to myself, man, they're sad. And I just say, God, am I getting that right? You know, and sometimes the Lord will just prompt me and say, well, just go encourage him and help him be glad. Amen? Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so kindness involves being sensitive and that kind of thing, all right? And so pay particular attention to how people look because you're looking upon and being concerned not merely for yourself but for others. Go to the next one. Number two is be supportive. Be supportive. Be encouragers. It goes along. These link together, but that's all right. Be encouragers. Notice Proverbs 15 and verse 4 says this way, Contemporary English Version, kind words are good medicine, but deceitful words can really hurt. How many of you agree to that? So we need to ask ourselves the question, if we're thinking about or wondering whether we're being kind to people, are we supportive with our words or we tear people down? Do we have words that lift people up? Or do we, you know, do you brag on your kids or do you nag at your kids? Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right, be supportive. Be supportive. Amen. The next one. Number three. Be sympathetic. Everybody say sympathetic. All right, so far what do we got? We got be sensitive, be supportive, be sympathetic. The idea of sympathetic means feel what others feel. Try to feel what others feel and that kind of thing. Amen. Notice Romans 12 verse 15 says, Philip's translation, share the happiness of those who are happy and the sorrow of those that are sad. Your Bible might say it this way. It might be more familiar to you. Rejoice with those that do rejoice and weep with those that weep. How many of you know that's the Bible? That's being sympathetic. That's relating to another person's situation. That you rejoice when they rejoice. You weep when they weep. How many of you know that that's an attribute of kindness? Are you doing all right here? All right, being sympathetic. And I'll tell you, as I was studying and reading, I felt like the Lord's conviction on me sometimes, you know. You know, and let's just relate it to your kids, and you know, I need help with my kids to know what to do because I was never a dad before. I tell them, you know, I'm new at this. You know, I have a teenager now. I never had a teenager before, so have grace for me, would you please? I'm new at this, amen? But you know, I got thinking, doing some reading about this idea of being sympathetic, and you know, when your teenager comes home with a problem, how many of you know they're going through a hard time in their life, aren't they? You know, it's good for us to remember. I got to think about it. I need to remember what being a teenager was like. And you know, if they come home with problems, you know, you don't fluff it off and say, well, that's no big deal. How many of you know to them it is a big deal? And how many of you know when you were a teenager, the same kind of thing was a big deal to you? It's good for us to go back and remember, isn't it? What was it like to be a teenager? My God. You know, some of you, you'll want to go and put the covers over your head when you remember. You doing all right? All right. So, what do we got? Ways, five characteristics of kind people. Be sensitive, be supportive, be sympathetic. And then lastly, or not lastly, the fourth one, be straightforward. It says in Proverbs 27:6, you can trust a friend who corrects you, but kisses from an enemy are nothing but lies. And so there are times to be straightforward. It's not a lack of kindness when you're straightforward. When you tell somebody the truth when they don't want to hear it, how many of you know, if you're doing it for their benefit, if you could honestly say in your heart, I'm doing this because I'm watching out for them. I'm doing this not for anything. There's no ulterior motive here. There's no other reason other than I care about that person. I want to help them. If I think they're going to blow it, I'm going to tell them, you know, I think you're blowing it. If I think that they're going to mess up their lives, I'm going to tell them out of love for them. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to tell them, you're messing up your life. If you do that, you're going to mess up your life. You know what I'm saying to you? Sometimes love and kindness is straightforward with people. It doesn't mean there's a lack of love. How many of you know Jesus was straightforward? And man, he was a whole lot harder than that. He said, you hypocrites. How many of you know he told the hypocrites they were hypocrites and that was kind of him? He never stopped being kind, did he? He said, woe unto you, hypocrites. And then he compares them to vipers. How many of you know he was kind? But you know what? Some people need that. Other people don't. But some people need that much bluntness in order to help them. Isn't that right? Amen. I know some of the Pharisees, you keep reading on the book of Acts, you know that there were Pharisees that came to Christ. How about Nicodemus? Even in the book of John, we know Nicodemus came to Christ. How many of you know Nicodemus might have been one of those hypocrites that he rebuked out of kindness and came to Christ and said, we know that you're a man sent from God. Amen. Is everybody doing all right? Amen. And so we have this idea of straightforward. Be sensitive, be supportive, be sympathetic, be straightforward. And then lastly, there's a time to be spontaneous. How many of you know some of the most kind things you can do is be spontaneous in your acts of kindness? Isn't that right? Probably the greatest example in the Bible is the Good Samaritan. How many of you know he didn't have to second guess himself? He knew that he had to help. Isn't that right? He was spontaneous. He was on the spot. He went and bound up the wounds. He poured in the oil and the wine. He took that wounded person. He took him to the inn and he paid for him to stay there. He was spontaneous, right? Some of the best things, husbands, some of the best things you can do for your wife to be kind is just be spontaneous. Don't wait for her birthday to get her a gift. Get her a gift when it's not her birthday or Christmas or anything else. It'll blow her mind. She won't know what to do with herself. She'll think, what's he after? Is everybody doing all right? Yeah. And you know, I got thinking about this. I'm going to close with this. I wrote these things down, so I'm just going to read them to you because I got thinking about this. When you're kind to people, some people are going to think, you know, they're going to be suspicious, aren't they? How many of you ever had, you know, you were kind to people and they got suspicious? They said, what do they want from me? Isn't that right? You know what I say? Be kind anyway. Be kind anyway. People might get suspicious, but be kind anyway. When you're kind, people might try to take advantage of you. What's the answer? Be kind anyway. When you're kind, people may think you're weak. What's the answer? Be kind anyway. Because kindness by the power of Christ is real strength. And when you're kind, people may think you're not too smart. But you be kind anyway. Because you're operating in the wisdom of God, aren't you? Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me today? And the worship team, if you'd come. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. Let's just, if you can, would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now? Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your word, Father God. Father God, I just pray that by your Spirit, you would just now just convict any that need to be convicted. Reveal to any that might need to go to someone and apologize for being unkind. I pray, Father God, if there's any of us here that need to go and ask forgiveness for being unkind to someone, might be their child, it might be their spouse, it might be a relative, it might be a friend, co-worker, whoever it might be. I pray, Father God, that you'd give us the strength. I pray that first you just show us and that you'd give us the strength and the words to speak in order to make that right, Father God. Father, let us be willing to exemplify the kindness of Christ in our lives, knowing the power behind this supernatural kind of kindness, Father God. When we fail, help us to get back up again. We thank you, Father God, for revealing these truths to us. In Jesus' name, Amen. 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 If you're here today, let's just stay in an attitude of prayer and reverence toward the Lord. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I never realized that God was a kind God. I never realized that He was out for my good and that He was not against me, but that He's for me. The Bible says that every person is loved by God. In fact, the Bible says in John 3:16 that He so loved the world, and the world includes you, that He gave His only begotten Son to die for you. His kindness sent His Son to die a terrible death for you. And if that is your situation where you realize for the first time that God is kind and has been kind to you, and you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you may think, well, I've sinned too badly, I've failed too badly, God would never take me. I want you to know that He is kind, as we read in Luke 6. He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. No matter how ungrateful and no matter how evil you may have been, He comes and says with open arms, I receive you if you'll come and accept what Jesus did for you. And so with everyone, just in an attitude of reverence and prayer, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I want to turn my life around. I want to be forgiven. I want to know that I'm starting on a new path and a new life. I want to know that if I were to leave this life, that I would go to heaven and not hell. If that describes your situation, would you have enough guts to lift your hand and say, I need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life today, without any hesitation, without anything to keep you back, without anything to hinder you right now? Would you make Jesus the Lord of your life today and say, I want Him and I want to be forgiven? If that's you, if you'd raise your hand up high, I want to pray with you and introduce you to this Savior who was a demonstration of the kindness and love of God when He came. Anybody at all, you want to make Him the Lord of your life today? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, that invitation still stands. And I'm going to ask, if I can, for Brother Mario, one of our elders, and Karen to come if you pray for people. If you need prayer before you leave today, Mario and Karen know how to pray the prayer of faith for you. And they love you and they'll help you in any way that they can. We don't want anybody to leave today without prayer if you need prayer. Amen? And if you should have raised your hand to accept Christ and you didn't, please come forward and ask them to lead you and to pray with you and to help you know Him as your Lord and Savior today. Amen? Amen. We love you. And I'd like to encourage you to stay for fellowship if you can. Remember the men's retreat for you men. And remember the Jubilee Gang and the sign-up sheet for help and posters and things like that are all out there. And so we just love you and thank God for you. And I encourage you, invite somebody to church next week. Invite somebody to church. You know why? Because especially if they don't know Christ, they're going to get an opportunity to know Him for the first time. Amen? How many of you, just out of curiosity, I know there's a few, how many of you came to know the Lord because somebody who knew the Lord brought you to church, whether it's this one or another one? Look at all the hands. Amen? They brought you to church. All you got to do is bring them to church, and they'll have an opportunity to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask Mario to close us in prayer, and praise God. God bless you now.
Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank You, Lord, that indeed You have shown us Your kindness, Lord God, even when we did not deserve it, by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sins, Lord God. And Lord, You've given us Your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and through Your Holy Spirit, You've given us the love of God. So Lord, as we leave this place, let us be mindful of the things that we've heard this morning, Lord God. Father, let us look upon everyone that we see through the eyes of love, through the eyes of that kindness that You have shown us. And Lord, may we be sensitive, Lord God, to see needs and to reach out with Your hands, Lord God, and speak Your word, Lord God, and have Your heart for the lost, for the unsaved, Lord God. And may we reach, may we tell them about the love of God that we have known, that we have seen, that we have experienced, that perhaps we might encourage a brother or a sister that's struggling, that's in need, or perhaps we might snatch out of the fire those that are perishing. Lord God, let us live for You, because You've given Your life for us. And we thank You today, Lord God, that You've equipped us, You've empowered us. And Lord, and we go in Your strength today, and I just ask for Your blessing upon everyone that goes today, that they would just be filled with Your Holy Spirit and filled with Your love, Lord God, that they might pour out to those that are in need. In Jesus' name, amen.